Spread. I'm your host, Radio. All right, welcome to The Spread. I'm your host, Rob Williamson. We're going to recap week one, then move into week two picks. I got a few good ones for you. But before we do that, let's, as there are in any week one, let's talk about some of the bonehead moves that happened to start off the season. And let's start it off with the ultimate boneheaded move with the New York Football Giants. I'm a Jets fan, so we looked good, but the Giants did not. They were lucky to be in that game. They should have won, but they had a couple lucky turnovers. I think the Cowboys were clearly the better team, but they could have gotten a road win in a division that they're going to have a very hard time winning, probably won't. Realistically, they have no chance of winning, but they could have won this game. Eli Manning told Rashad Jennings to not run the ball into the end zone if he could, which that's a pretty classic Eli move, because Eli Manning's pretty dumb. He's a mouth breather. We've seen it a million times, but this is a new low. For some reason, I guess he didn't want to be up two scores with under 2 minutes to go and would rather chance taking 3 points where they could lose the game, all in the name of getting an extra 30 seconds off the clock. To me, that's pretty moronic and not surprising. Now, Rashad Jennings also threw Eli under the bus. So to me, the Giants are completely in shambles. I think it's time for Coughlin to go. The other thing about Rashad Jennings running on the bus is Rashad Jennings isn't any good at all to begin with. He shouldn't be throwing anyone under the bus. He should be praising the Lord that he has a starting running back gig in the NFL because he is no good at all. The Giants' D looked good in the sense that they had some turnovers, but ultimately I think the Giants are basically a fraud team. I think they have no chance of winning the division. I don't see them going 500. I think the Eagles and Cowboys ultimately will be in a dogfight at the end of the season. And this was a big win because of the Eagles' loss at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. All the Giants, I think, are going to have a rough season. I don't like Jennings throwing Eli under the bus. I don't like Eli telling him not to score. I don't like that Tom Coughlin's 100 years old. I don't like anything about anything with going on with the New York Football Giants. Next stupid decision, and this actually might have been stupider, Pete Carroll decides to go for an onside kick in overtime against the Rams. And this is the height of stupidity for me. I know Pete Carroll prides himself on being a ballsy, gutsy coach, and, you know, it won them a Super Bowl, I guess. But the fine line between gutsy and stupid is very thin, and this one fell very much on the side of stupid. He said he was trying to pooch kick it to the 40. I guess he was trying to keep it out of Tavon Austin's hands, which I can understand because Tavon Austin torched them in this game. He had a punt return touchdown. He's an electric player. I understand the thought process of keeping the ball out of his hand. Believe me, that's not the problem I have. But he said he was trying to get it to the 40-yard line. If you just kick the ball out of bounds, they start at the 40-yard line. So if you really want to do that, you can just have your kicker kick it out of bounds. But the other thing is, in a dome, Steven Kauchka has a great leg. Are you telling me in a dome he can't kick that ball out of the back of the end zone? That's ludicrous to me. Now, Pete Carroll, I think – I'm not going to say he's rattled by what happened in the Super Bowl, but maybe he's trying to go too far the other way and show that his gutsy play calling is still there. And I don't like it at all because you end up doing stupid stuff like this. And it lost in the game. The Seahawks are now 0-1. A place, frankly, they've very rarely been. Started off the season against the Packers last year and stomped them. And they have the Packers coming up this year. But they have Cam Chancellor holding out, which is a disaster of a situation for both sides of that. Cam Chancellor's already surrendered $2 million during his holdout, that's a good amount of money. And the Seahawks haven't won a game. I mean, granted, it's only one game, but neither side is profiting from this holdout. And if I'm Cam Chancellor's reps, I don't know if John Schneider's the guy I want to be dealing with because he's shown over the past 5 years that he is nothing if not phenomenal at getting the guys on the field that can win games. And it appears so far that they show no signs of wanting to pay his money. If I'm a Packers fan, I'm excited because he's not going to be playing this weekend. And he's a big part of that defense. When you're placing Aaron Rodgers, your secondary needs to be at their best. And when you have a rookie in Cam Chancellor, the all-pros spot, you're vulnerable. When you're playing the best quarterback in the NFL, you don't want to be vulnerable. And they are. That being said, I'll get into that game later when I go through my picks for next week. I think the Seahawks could still win that game, but obviously, without Chancellor, it's going to be a much more challenging affair. The next topic I wanted to get into was, this is one that fires me up. Andy Dalton played great, didn't he? Didn't he just play great against the Oakland Raiders in the first game of the regular season? Is this the same old story or is it not? Andy Dalton always plays great against terrible teams in meaningless games. And the Cincinnati Bengals always look great, don't they? They look great. They killed them. They killed them on the road. Big road win. They were only favored by 4. They stomped them. That spread didn't make sense either, if we're being honest, because the Raiders have shown that they have absolutely, I think they're going to be good. I understand Khalil Mack, and I understand Derek Carr, and I understand that Derek Carr got hurt, but that game wasn't close before Derek Carr got hurt. That game was a blowout right from the start, and I don't think it had anything to do with Derek Carr getting hurt that the final score was as bad as it was. Now, on the other hand, the defense looks very good, but that's something we've come to expect. The defense of the Cincinnati Bengals is very good, and the offense is good against bad teams. This is shaping up to be a classic Cincinnati Bengals season where you have your quarterback playing great against bad teams, and then you play a good team on primetime and get stumped. It happens every year with them. It's amazing to me. It happens every single year with the Cincinnati Bengals. And the same thing's going to happen this year. Marvin Lewis is, behind Bill Belichick, the second longest tenured coach in the NFL, which is an atrocity because he hasn't ever won a playoff game. Has there ever been a coach that has been with a team for more than a 5-year span in the modern era without winning a playoff game? I can't think of one, but somehow only Bill Belichick has been with their team longer than Marvin Lewis, and Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game. I understand that Cincinnati, it's a small market. Going to the playoffs is a big deal for a franchise like that. But they have the pieces to win. They're shy of quarterback, and they're shy of head coach. I understand they lost Gruden, and Gruden, I didn't love Gruden. Just Jay Gruden, if we've seen anything from his time in Washington, it's that he was not the thing that was making that offense good. That offense is good because they have Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill out of the backfield, which is, I think, the best 1-2 punch in the running back game, maybe other than what they have in Philadelphia. But Jeremy Hill is every bit as good as any other three-down back in the league, and Giovanni Bernard might be the best third-down back in the NFL. He was tearing it up. Before Jeremy Hill got there, Giovanni Bernard was one of the best running backs in the league, fantasy-wise. They happened to draft a stud out of LSU, and now he's been relegated to a third-down back. But guess what? He's one of the best in the league. And they have A.J. Green, who's one of the best receivers in the league. Tyler Eifert's an emerging tight end who's great. They have a solid offensive line. Not the best in the league, but solid. Shy quarterback. And they're shy head coach. They get a game changer. They get a solid quarterback. Andy Dalton has made looks. Everyone would say he's the definition of a solid quarterback, but he's not. He's really not. You put Andy Dalton on a bad team, and he's the worst. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Andy Dalton couldn't do anything with the Browns. Andy Dalton would be a two-win. They would be a two-win team if Andy Dalton was the quarterback of the Browns. And I'm not saying McCown's anything special because he's not, but he's on par with Dalton. Dalton just has been benefited by an amazing offense and an amazing defense. And the time to win is now if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if they think they're growing anything there. They're not. No one wants to go to Cincinnati. They're not growing anything. They have the players now. They need to win now. And they need to make a move on a quarterback. I don't know if that means trading up in the draft, trading for a quarterback somewhere else, maybe trying to sign a free agent. But Dalton's not going to win you anything. And they have the pieces to win, but they're missing the most important piece, and that's the quarterback. So that kind of always gets me fired up about the Bengals. Brady did his thing in his comeback. I think we kind of all expected that. But let's get into some picks for this week. There are some good games. Some good college games, too, but there's some money to be won on on Sunday and Thursday, actually. I'm going to wait on the game tonight because I think that's probably the one that most people are interested in. So let's move on to my first pick in the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. And it starts with the Arizona Cardinals-Chicago Bears game. And I love this pick. Frankly, I freaking love this pick. The Chicago Bears are a joke. Cutler did his thing. He threw Packers are good, to be honest. But I don't think the Bears aren't any good. And the Cardinals are very good. They beat Drew Brees and the Saints. And I know the Saints aren't good on the road. I know that as well as anyone because last season I won a bunch of money betting against them on the road. And at home, quite frankly, last year, they weren't any good. And I don't think they're necessarily a good team this year. But they did get Browner. And I do think that they're kind of changing their image or trying to change their image by getting rid of Jimmy Graham. They're trying to bolster the offensive line, improve the defense. I think they're a better team this year. Brees did a standard thing where he racks up a ton of yards. But the Cardinals are a legitimate team. I think the Cardinals are kind of my dark horse to come out of the NFC. The Jordy Nelson injury was huge for the Packers. Obviously, they were my team before that happened, and they're definitely still a threat. And you know, life on the line, I'd take the Packers before. I would take the Seahawks, then the Packers, then the Cardinals. But I like the Cardinals better than those fraud teams in the NFC East. To be honest, I don't love the Eagles. I think they're a fraud team. I don't believe that Chip Kelly offense can hold on, we got a caller calling in. Let me see if he's there. Hello?
Williamson?
Yeah. Yeah, how's it going? All right, this is Nick Shea, longtime friend. He's a Giants fan. Let's actually get your phone. You there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Let me get your take on this. I don't know if you were listening when I was talking about the Giants. Were you?
No, I just got on right now.
All right. What is your take on what happened? I'll give you my take real quick. I think that team is kind of in shambles. Eli Manning, to me, telling Rashad Jennings not to score a touchdown to go up 10 with less than 2 minutes left is the height of stupidity. And then Rashad Jennings throwing him under the bus afterwards. It doesn't seem like a good situation you got there. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, I thought it was a solid effort to get to where they were in the fourth quarter. The Cowboys didn't play that well, but the Giants were making the most of their opportunities. But, you know, the offense looked terrible. Eli couldn't complete shit. And, you know, that last play, I mean, I don't know what Coughlin's thinking not going for it there. You have a choice to either win or tie, basically, hoping to tie, or change your odds to, you lose or win. So I'd always
it's very hard to move the ball from your own goal line, which is where the Cowboys would have been. That's another thing. Eli throwing that ball, they would have won the game if he had just gone down. Because then they can run another 30 seconds off the clock.
If he told Rashad not to score, that means he knew he was trying to waste time. So why wouldn't you just sit on it there?
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. It's counterintuitive. He told Jennings not to score so they could burn clock, and then he throws the ball and stops the clock. So to me, I think you guys have some problems there. The only reason you were in the game were because of a couple turnovers, which is valid, but you know you can't count on that week in, week out, especially since I don't think the Giants have a very good defense.
Yeah, against Julio Jones, I just don't know who's going to really be able to cover him. We got Rodgers Cromartie out there, but, I mean, he wasn't going up against Dez the entire game because Dez went out, basically.
Yeah, I like the Falcons in that one. I think the Falcons are pretty good with Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I thought the Falcons looked good last
historically
week.
Historically, kind of soft defense. What did you call in about? What game are you looking to talk about?
I'm looking to talk about tonight. Looking for some picks in the Denver-Kansas City game. I think the line is Kansas City favored by 3, if I'm right.
Yeah, that's what I have, too. All right, I have some thoughts on that one. I was going to wait till the end, but I'll get into it now. Figure that's probably the one people want to hear about. I like Denver. To be honest, they've won 6 straight against the Chiefs. They kind of own them. 4-1 against the spread in the last 5. Peyton's thrown 11 to touchdowns to 2 against the Chiefs. Now, I understand. I watched the first game. Peyton Manning looked really, really bad. But don't forget, people were calling Brady's head this time last year, too. And I understand he didn't have any zip on his balls. But with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, you don't have to throw the ball way downfield for them to be effective. Demaryius Thomas can be effective in the intermediate and run his own. And don't forget they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Aqib Talib and Harris is the best DB combo short of my boys Revis and Cromartie. And they have Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware rushing the passer. I think that's going to give Alex Smith some problems. And I think maybe Kubiak tries to tone it down on offense, maybe doesn't try to go downfield as much. Let's Pate throw some more shorter intermediate routes and let Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders make plays for themselves.
I like that. What are you thinking about just straight up Denver win or against the spread here?
I'll take the 3. I think it could be a field goal game. I'll take the 3.
That's true. Always get in there.
Yeah, what's the total? What's the over-under on this?
It's at 42. At least for
42?
Me right now. Yeah.
That's low.
That's
low. But I loved the under in the Vikings-Niners game, and that went under too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll touch that. I'm actually flying back. I'm flying back up to New York tonight, but I'm on JetBlue, so I'll be able to watch. Totals are tough. For me, I hate taking the under because then you just kind of want a shitty game. But I hate taking the over because then you find yourself pulling for the team you bet against just so the over will hit.
The last second of the game.
So I'm gonna take Denver with the 3. And I think Peyton Manning gets back on track here.
I like that.
Any other games you want to talk about?
We got Mets coming up, but I'm just getting my research done right now for the weekend. Big weekend, obviously, week 2.
What do you think my Jets' chances are going into Indy on Monday night?
I mean, obviously, Indianapolis didn't look that great in week 1.
And I think the Bills kind of have a similar team to the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, like a hard-nosed, defense-oriented team that can punch you in the mouth, and the Colts are kind of soft, and their defense is terrible.
The team surrounding Andrew Luck just isn't that strong, if you look at it.
No, and everyone was talking about Frank Gore and Andre Johnson coming in. Those guys are fucking dinosaurs.
I know.
Frank Gore is garbage.
7.5 dogs. They're 7.5 dogs.
I know, and I love that number, too, because I could easily see this being a touchdown game. Anytime you're getting more than a touchdown in an NFL game, it's something to look at, but Andrew Luck basically has a perfect record against the spread coming off a loss. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If you want to stay on the line, I'm going to do my other locks of the week. But if you got to go, that's cool too.
No, I'll just stay on. I'll just let you do your thing.
All right. Nick Shea, good friend, big Giants fan. I think he's in trouble being a Giants fan, to be honest. I think it's going to be a bad season for him. Other than that, another game I love. This is one I got started. Going to Minnesota. Detroit is a 3-point dog, 3.5-point dog. You might be able to get it at 4 by the weekend because I think people are going to be heavy on the Vikings because of this. They have this persona of a team being on the rise, you know, and Peterson's back. Bridgewater's supposedly very good. They went out and got Mike Wallace. They have a solid defense. But I actually don't think they're that good. Bridgewater looked terrible on Monday night. He is supposed to be a really accurate passer, and he couldn't hit his guys against the Niners. And I know the Niners have a solid defense, and I think that was actually a really good bet. I took the Niners. People are counting them out because they lost Harbaugh and some other guys have retired. But they still have a lot of players on that defense. Kaepernick is still good. Obviously, Carlos Hyde is going to be a beast this year. But beyond that, the Vikings looked terrible. They scored 3 points. Bridgewater couldn't hit anybody. They had opened no holes for Peterson. They didn't give Peterson the ball that much. So I really like Detroit. I think they had a tough matchup in San Diego because the Chargers are a really good, really good football team. And they got out to an early lead, and Rivers looked great. He brought him back. Rivers is very good. But it's tough to go on the road and win in San Diego for anybody. But So basically both these two teams went on the road. The Lions played a much better team than the Vikings played, and they played them a lot closer. I think their defense, they lost Sue, but they have Nada. I think their defense is still strong. I expect a much bigger game out of Calvin Johnson. He didn't do much in their first one.
Williamson, what do you think about the
another game I like? What's up?
What do you think about the New England Buffalo game?
New England Buffalo. I like New England. I know Buffalo is kind of a trendy pick, and it looks like a trap. But the actual consensus wasn't as far off as I thought it was going to be. It's only like 54-46% in favor of the Pats. And Tom Brady's 13-3 against the Bills. I know they have Rex Ryan now, and I love Rex Ryan. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Bills won. But if you're going to give me a 13-3 Brady against the Bills in basically a pick 'em, I'll take my chances with Brady. It's certainly not one of my locks. I don't love it, but I'm on the Pats. What are your thoughts on that? Similar?
I kind of see in the spread, and you know what? I'm going to probably avoid that one this weekend.
That's not a bad one to avoid. The other reason I'd like to avoid it would be because I would love to be pulling for the Bills. And if I bet on the Patriots, I obviously care more about my wallet than anything. Especially for the Jets. This is one thing I'll say about my Jets, the Bills, the Pats, and the Dolphins. The AFC East might be the best division in football this year. The Bills look very good. The Patriots are defending champs. Jets look good. Dolphins could be very good. That's a division that the Pats used to sail right through and really didn't even have to play the regular season because they had like 6 guaranteed wins with those games. Maybe they go 5-1 at the worst. This year, none of those games would take long. Going into Buffalo, they're only favored by 1. It opened up with them being underdogs. So that's going to be an interesting division. There's a lot of good defenses. Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets all have really good defenses that Brady's going to have to deal with this season.
Yeah, for like the first year ever, actually. The Pats have been just dominating
exactly.
The division.
Exactly. Like a couple times the Jets had some good defenses last time Cromartie and Revis were together, but they were never really a threat. And I don't think anyone's really a threat. I think that the Pats will still win the division. I think the Dolphins have a chance at grabbing that wild card, though. My other game I like the Redskins at home. The Redskins, actually, as bad as they are, and I think Jay Gruden's a dog shit coach. All cards on the table, I think he's a shitty coach. And the Redskins' quarterback situation sucks. Kirk Cousins is not any good. RG3, I guess, you know, say what you will about him, but Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback. There's no way around that. But that being said, they should have beaten the Dolphins last week. I don't know if you watched that game. They were leading the entire game. Jarvis Landry had a punt return touchdown, which gave him a 7-point, which allowed them to win by 7. But Washington, and I think the Dolphins are pretty good, and the Washington and the Redskins held them in check. They lost DeSean Jackson. But to be honest, I feel like DeSean Jackson's hurt like half the games he plays anyways. Like, I feel like if he doesn't catch 180-yard touchdown, he might as well not be there. So I don't think that's going to hurt him that much. They still have Garcon. I think Alfred Morris is actually a solid running back. And I think the Rams are going to have a big hangover from that Seahawks win. I think they're going to have a hangover from it. I think they're riding really high. They're still on Twitter talking at Russell Wilson. And the Rams actually aren't that good of a team, but somehow they always play the Seahawks really close. So that's kind of that's an interesting pick, you know, not a conventional one, but I like the Redskins. Next one I really like, this is the Sunday night game, is the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks catching 4. It's kind of the similar reason I like the Redskins against the Rams is why I like the Seahawks against the Packers. Packers did not impress me against the Bears. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I didn't catch most of it. I still got to set up all my fucking Sunday tickets, but I saw a little bit of it. They didn't look that good, but, I mean.
They were tied at the half. They were tied at the half, and the Bears aren't any good. I know Rodgers. Rodgers had 3 touchdowns. He was 18 for 23, 3 touchdowns. He almost had a 95 QBR. That's to be expected out of Rodgers, though. And the Bears' defense is terrible. The Bears' defense sucks, but the Seahawks' defense, with or without, I talked about this earlier, the Cam Chancellor thing is really brutal because it would be awesome to see that game with Chancellor. That being said, I think their defense is still more than capable. I think they still, even without Chancellor, have a very good defense. They've won three in a row against the Packers. They beat them on opening night last year. They're going to be out for blood after losing. They don't want to go 0-2. I don't see them going 0-2. So I'll take four. I'll take 4 points in the Seahawks on Sunday night. Plus, Russell Wilson has a history of playing really well in big games, and that's a big game on Sunday Night Football.
I like that.
Let me see what else I got. The Texans switching to Mallett from Hoyer. I think Ryan Mallett should have been the starter from day one. I don't think Brian Hoyer is any good. Not that Mallett's great, but I think he has a much higher upside than Hoyer does. And he showed it. I mean, he looked way better in that game last week. And their defense is good enough, but they're not that good. As you can see, like, they got shredded in the first half by the Chiefs, who I think the Chiefs are going to have a fine offense this year, but they're by no means a juggernaut. And they shut them down. The Chiefs did not score in the second half, which is also part of the reason I like Denver tonight. As good as the Chiefs looked, they didn't score a point in the second half against the Texans. And the Broncos have a much better defense. I understand they were on the road, but the Broncos defense puts the Texans defense to shame. And the Hard Knocks effects make you like Houston. But with Mallett coming in, they're going into Carolina. The Panthers are dog shit. I think Texans are. What's the line on that game?
The Texans game?
Yeah, the Texans Panthers game. Get a number check on that for me.
Carolina's favored by 3.
Yeah, Carolina's favors. I didn't understand that line at all. The Panthers are favored by 3. They struggled with the Jags. They won 20-9, but they had a pick 6. The Jags are, as we've seen year after year, suck. They're bad. And the Panthers, without Kelvin Benjamin, Newton throws the ball high every time, which was fine because Benjamin caught it every time. But he was the only red zone threat. I get you have Greg Olsen, I guess. But, you know, when there's no decent wide receiver and you can almost double Olsen, you can jam him at the line and then have a safety on him, he's not going to kill you. He can beat you when Benjamin's double team. But now, who's their number one receiver? Ted Ginn? That guy has the worst hands of any wide receiver that's made it as long as he has in the NFL.
I mean, Greg Olsen only had one catch on Sunday, and basically for like 10 yards, I'm pretty sure. I mean, they look pretty rough out there right now.
There you have it. They barely beat the Jags, thanks to a Greg Norman pick 6, and somehow they're favored against the Texans. Now, the Texans aren't great, as we saw. They got beat pretty bad by the Chiefs, but the second half, they handled business in the second half. So they're trending up for me. And I think that the Panthers are going to have a hard time scoring the ball at all. So I like the Texans in that one a lot, especially getting points. I know that a lot of these are road teams. Denver, Arizona, Detroit, Seattle, Houston are all road teams, and the Pats are a road team too. I do in other games have home teams. That's just kind of the way it shook out for me, where teams on the road seem to be coming off disappointing performances. And in the NFL, there's so much parity that I love a good team coming off a disappointing performance. When you have guys out there trying to prove something, I think is when they're at their finest. And better believe Tom Brady's still trying to prove something. 1 week didn't shake anything off of him. He's going to be out for blood all season. So I like that one. A home game I really like, actually, is I like the Browns against the Titans. I am expecting Marcus Mariota, who looked very good, all the credit in the world to him. I expect him to have a very bad game. I think he's going to have a big, big reality check. Did you watch that game? Were you on a red zone situation?
Jameis looked fucking terrible. I mean, not that bad. He eventually got some scores, but, I mean, Mariota looked solid. It seemed like their offense had been tailored. They were tailoring the offense to his style of play, like a shotgun West Coast type of format, which was good for him. But I don't know. I think with film on tape of Mariota, I think he's not going to do as well as I mean Week One. Still not.